Welcome to the St. John Vianney Theological Seminary, Lay Division Enrichment Course, the First Domestic Church, the Life of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in Nazareth. My name is Dr. Alfonso Pinto. I am the Academic Dean and as well Associate Professor of Theology at St. John Vianney Seminary. It is in this small priestly village of Nazareth that Mary, Joseph, and the child Jesus lived. What would later be known as the Holy House of Loreto, Loreto in Italy being the place where the relics of this sacred house of Mary is kept, this shrine would attract numerous saints throughout the centuries, and it is notable that within its walls, Mary heard the announcement of the angel and where she lived as a spouse with Joseph, raising her son, namely the Son of God. Within the walls of the Holy House, if one gets the chance to visit it, one can feel the peace that reigned in the Holy Family, a divine peace made real by the incarnation of the Son of God. This Holy House literally became the first architectural sanctuary of God the Son, like a church. The Lord Jesus didn't dwell daily in the temple, nor did he climb Mount Sinai in the desert, nor did he live in a modern mansion made out of glass and steel. But he lived in this little brick house that faced a cave that would later and forever bear witness to the memory of his incarnation. Opening the door and entering the Holy House, one can see Mary cooking by the fire. Who was this that is brighter than the sun, more glorious than an army set in array, as the liturgy proclaims her? Yet what we have here is her humility going about the daily chores of life, from cooking to cleaning, to caring for the needs of Joseph and Mary, and most importantly, to praying. Her own selfless service is seen as she rushes to Elizabeth when the angel announced that Elizabeth's own pregnancy, despite her old age, was going to take place. Upon arrival at the threshold of Elizabeth and Zachariah's house, the child in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. A simple shalom, a simple greeting of peace from Mary, brings holiness to the child and to Elizabeth. Elizabeth's response to Mary's greeting shows that within her heart has been revealed a divine plan, a divine mystery, that Mary was bearing in her womb God the Son. Elizabeth says, "How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" In Greek, this is Kyrios mou. Kyrios meaning Lord or Lord God, Adonai Elohim. The child in her womb leaping for joy is indicative that as a child still in the womb, St. John the Baptist realized the presence of God. That is, his intellect and will were particularly active. He also received the divine grace of faith for the illumination of his intellect to know that God was present in Mary. This is indicative of a profound mystery that Saint John the Baptist was washed away of all his original sin. And became sanctified with grace at the very presence of our Lord and His most blessed Mother. It was the presence of Our Lady that mediated her divine Son. She is the one who bore God in the flesh, and it is through her instrumentality that holiness has come into the world. If we look at Saint Joseph, he has the job of a carpenter. He works with his hands, designs furniture, chooses the right piece of wood for a table. His entire intellect and his will and his body are involved, especially in making furniture. Can you imagine what his hands would have been like? How precise and beautiful the furniture would have been. He truly was an artist. Like many other Josephs in the history of Israel, the foster father of the Lord was entitled as righteous and is described so by the gospel writers. He had a proper and holy relationship with God. We already get the clue that he had been purified of his sins. It wasn't a very profound journey of faith to loving God and especially to experiencing his holiness. God had willed it so, and thus the first thing we know about Saint Joseph is this title that he is righteous. His entire being was taken up into loving God. He probably felt within his soul a profound sanctification as well given to him by the presence of the Son of God in the womb of Mary. Saint Joseph's soul would have been very, very sensitive to the presence of God. This Son of Mary, he received as his own as well from God the Father, giving him the name of Jesus at the ritual of his circumcision. However, he would have first encountered God in the very depths of his soul. God dwelt in the heart of Joseph. God fashioned the heart of Joseph, preparing it for the coming of the second person of the Holy Trinity, who was still a mystery for Israel. One of the authors that we will examine in this course is the servant of God, Padre Candido Amantini, who was a Passionist. He was a theologian and biblical scholar who taught seminarians in Rome for many years after World War II. He knew ancient Greek, he knew biblical Greek, Hebrew, and as well as Sanskrit. However, his greatest published work is called Il Mistero di Maria, The Mystery of Mary. Father Candido was also the main exorcist in Rome in the latter part of the 20th century, and also had care for many souls as spiritual father and director. He reflected heavily on the relationship that the Blessed Virgin had with Saint Joseph and her son. One of his most profound insights on Saint Joseph was that the marriage of Joseph and Mary was not simply by convenience, nor was Saint Joseph simply a shadow hovering about Mary and Jesus. Rather, Saint Joseph was totally immersed in loving Mary as his wife, while still having a heart totally given to God. By divine grace, or as the gospel says, being righteous, he would have been able to understand through the gift of faith that Mary was supposed to be providentially his wife. After the Annunciation, realizing that Mary had conceived of the Holy Spirit, and that the Son to be born of her was holy, the Son of God, we have this enigmatic phrase that he would let go of her quietly. We will examine this episode that is far more subtle than simply saying that he was afraid. However, the entire scene shows forth a deep sense of holiness that Joseph had towards Mary, the mystery that God was playing in her heart, and ultimately to the God, that is, to the Son of God, whom she would bear in her womb. Another text we will be discussing is entitled Mary in the Mystery of the New Covenant by Father Ignace de la Poterie, in which he thoroughly examines the Annunciation narrative, showing various nuances of what it means to be holy and what it means to be full of grace. And also we will look at Father René Laurentin's own research into the finding of Jesus in the temple, that as Mary and Joseph felt the loss of God for 3 days, losing Jesus, and then finding him in the temple, they were beside themselves. Or rather, they were out of themselves, as if in a spiritual ecstasy, finding Jesus seated in the temple, teaching the people gathered there at his feet. These theological texts give us a great and unique perspective about the Holy Family's own life of holiness and why we call that family holy, and what it was like to really have God the Father and the Holy Spirit present in the family life together with God the Son. And that this Joseph and this Mary had the providential duty of caring for Jesus. One of the questions we will be wondering is, did they know about the cross? We will also be taking a look at the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, proclaimed by Pius IX, and the doctrine of the Assumption, the dogma of the Assumption, proclaimed by Pius XII. So throughout this course, we will truly be seeing what it was like, what the hidden life of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph was like. Each lecture will also focus on an application of theology to our own spiritual lives, as we have to do theology on our knees. What do these mysteries mean towards our greater spiritual perfection? How can we unite ourselves in the practice of our lives? How can we unite ourselves to Jesus and Mary and Joseph? How can we bring the spirituality of the Holy Family to our participation in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass? And so I would like to welcome you on this journey, and may we always find ourselves within the presence of the Holy Family of Nazareth during the hardness of our days, the troubling of our times. But most of all, may the icon of the Holy Family of Nazareth give us hope to look towards heaven. Thank you, and I hope you'll join us in this course.